So examples of people who have been investigated, a few years back, you had wounded warriors who were found to have been paying their executives exorbitant amounts. Also, candy supplies and so on in excess of $250,000 that caused a lot of concern and discourse related to some of the things that they were doing. You can go online and pick out from mega church pastors and those that you see on television from time to time, the types of compensation packages that they're nailing down related to that. And churches, just like charitable organizations and so on, their 501c3, they're subject to intermediate sanctions as well as the things all that tie into the other charitable organizations and associations and so on. So when you're looking at those kind of things, there's issues out there, and it keeps stirring the pot whenever the media gets involved with some of this stuff. So from an oversight standpoint, who does it affect? It affects disqualified persons, key employees, highly compensated, and who are they? Well, they can be voting board members, they can be the president, chief executive officer, or executive directors, chief operating officers, treasurer, chief financial, executive staff, vice presidents, consultants, and so on. And in terms of some of those particular positions, it doesn't matter what type of compensation packages they have or whatever else from the standpoint, they are under the scrutiny immediately. And then when you walk off the curb in terms of key employees, there's different tests related to that. And then there's also the current five highest compensated over $100,000 that are not subject to those tests. So when you're looking at that whole dynamic in terms of the organization and what they are being paid, and we all know oftentimes that nonprofit organizations don't necessarily pay like other organizations, and oftentimes we find that their compensation is not would not be considered excessive. But at the same time, the organization, especially those that have budgets in excess of $1 million, those organizations are subject to audit. And so from that standpoint, regardless of what we might think would not be considered excessive comp, oftentimes the boards as well are not aware of the fact that it's not just cash. There's a whole set and array of compensation pieces and tools that go into that process that create what's called the total compensation picture. And in that picture, all those things are related to whether that would be considered excessive comp or not. I'm going to get into a little bit of that. But one thing that's really important from a governance perspective and also from the education piece is there a compensation philosophy and policy in place for the organization? And this is key to the whole piece of the puzzle, if you will, in terms of ensuring that at the end of the day, you're covered to some degree in terms of making sure that that policy is in place. And the reason for that policy is this, is oftentimes in court cases and so on, things that we've talked about, when an organization goes beyond the 75th percentile and you don't have, well, actually, when the organization goes beyond 10% of the median and there's no policy in place, anything above that can be considered excessive comp based on IRS regs and all sorts of other stuff. So when the policy's in place, you can create that marketplace for the organization by having a policy that says we pay between the minimum and the 75th percentile and then target below that 75th percentile so you don't run the risk of accidentally going beyond that and then creating the issues. Again, just like anything else, it needs to be compatible with the mission and strategy and the culture of the organization, and to make sure that the organization's in compliance with all laws and regulations related to that. At the end of the day, is it fair and reasonable? And those are the guidelines that are out there regarding nonprofit executive comp. So when we're looking at all the different pieces and the puzzles related to that, this is what you see, anywhere from base salary to health and welfare benefits, fringe benefits, and if you'll notice, I stuck parking in there right before we got started with this thing. Severance payments, relocation, outplacement packages, parachutes, all those kind of things can come into play. And one of the things that we find in terms of analysis work is that oftentimes people skip the paid time off piece of the puzzle, and the reason being is because oftentimes that's incorporated into their base compensation. But if there's a policy in place in the organization that states that if an individual leaves the organization at X point in time and we pay out benefits, then that becomes an additional compensation piece and has to be costed out and brought back into the total compensation picture. So there's a lot of things that are related, housing assistance, parsonage and loans, those kind of things. One of the things that we have run across on the church side is that, you know, we want to give no interest loans and yada, yada, yada. Well, you can't do that. And, you know, there's always gray areas and all that good stuff of doing business. And so, you know, part of that whole process is that you have to make sure at the end of the day that what you have in place for their total compensation package is going to meet the smell test by the time it's all said and done in terms of doing the due diligence.